The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday in Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing this morning, let us pray for our beloved Miriam Roy, who died recently. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Eternal rest
grant unto her, O Lord. May she rest in peace. May all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I apologize for my crackling voice, but it seems there must be something that I'm allergic to in this room. Whether it is the room or you, I'm not quite sure, but something causes my voice to crackle pretty badly. Otherwise, it's all right. This morning, I want to go through the bulletins with you. Actually, the main ones, the concerning the calendars, if you need calendars, be sure that you check with Scott Lineback, who will have the calendars for you. In the rear of the church, you will find the usual packets of blessed wheat. Take all of them, and you take them home with you and use them as you know how. Not just as another empty ceremony to be involved in, but with the real and honest and genuine and sincere desire to do something about the salvation of our immortal souls. We need to be very conscientious about this. Death is something, is a mystery, and it is something that we know little about. The only thing that we know about death is that it is certain. And if all of you, and certainly you do, know that the last time we were in this room, our sister was with us. But since the last time, God took her unexpectedly. And death, when they say that death is a thief in the night, or is like a thief in the night, you better believe it, because we do not know. And look at the thin line that we walk through life. Look at how much do we truly and sincerely live in fact according to the convictions that we confess. There is a difference. How conscientious are we in the observance of the very things that we preach should be done? We preach for others. But do we preach to ourselves? That's the important thing. And in the planting of this wheat, grown-ups should just as much take part in this as the children. As a matter of fact, the grown-ups are probably should involve, participate in this little custom even more than the children. Because each day, an act of patience, an act of modesty, an act of charity, an act of purity, an act of meekness, an act of truthfulness, and so on. Each day, how many of us are confronted with these virtues, and how did we react to them? Did we not cave in? Did we not fall down before them in their activity? My beloved people, according to the gospel that we've been reading for the last two Sundays, I think it's time for all of us to be very serious-minded about things. Are we here for the sake of saving our immortal souls, or are we here for the sake of simply doing something that we prefer to do? So let us take this very seriously and be about it in the way that we're supposed to be. Of course, this morning, we bless the Advent wreath here in this little chapel, and I strongly urge you, that's why it's you put in the bulletin and also the little purple leaflets that you're welcome to take them home with you, to have an Advent wreath of your own in your homes, in your family circles, and to put into practice what the Advent wreath brings to your mind, and is in process of the same. In the bulletins you will find a reading for each of the days of Advent. I recommend that you do this for yourselves, and to do this especially if there are children in the family circle. Be sure, because these readings have been so arranged that they take us from the promise all the way to the birth. And I think the meditation on these readings is very important. And then also on the same page with the reading, you will find the blessing of the Christmas tree, the blessing finally and ultimately and most importantly of the infant Christmas crib. Do not allow yourselves to become convinced of the arguments, the erroneous arguments that are being presented in certain circles today about the sinfulness of the normal Christmas things that we are accustomed to. The good Christmas thing. Look, the Christmas fantasies. Do not look upon these as sinful. Some people are saying they are. They are not sinful. They become sinful if you place them before Christ himself. But if you keep first things first, do not be afraid. And besides, parents, be alerted. Be seriously alerted. Be intelligently alerted. If the Christmas fantasies are taken away from our little children, as some people strongly suggest, for example, that they are all a bunch of lies, Santa Claus being a lie, and sin, sinful and evil, you take those legitimate little customs that have come into our culture, you take those fantasies away from our children, and you are going to create a void. And parents, be alerted. Look at what is filling that void in the minds and the hearts of your littlest children. Take time out to look at what they're looking at on the TV, and the monstrous, soul-wrenching filth that is being presented to them. You have your choice, parents. Either the innocent fantasies or the man-made fantasies for your children. You have your choice. And the outcome of your choice will be very serious indeed. So I dare say the ones who are trying to take an axe to the things that are of lesser evil, if it can at all be classified evil, then those parents had better be ready to answer. So with the coming of Christmas, do not be so stringent and so narrow as to forbid your children the little excitement that goes with the season. And isn't it something? Think of it. There are those who will not have anything to do with Christmas until Christmas Eve itself. And our little children are not permitted to get excited, you know, about Christmas until Christmas Eve. There's nothing in the house that speaks of Christmas, that demonstrates Christmas. The decorations are not allowed until the last minute. Comes Christmas Day, our children are allowed Christmas, but their playmates are already finished with Christmas. So with whom do our children enjoy Christmas? Think, my beloved people, think of what it's about. Beforehand, they're not permitted. And afterhand, there's nobody left to talk to about. Because Christmas, in the minds of the world, is finished on the day itself. And so, I think I have pointed out, I have pointed to the things that are of the greatest significance. This week, the most important I've left out, Immaculate Conception. We will not celebrate Immaculate Conception next Sunday because during Advent, no feast impedes the Sundays of Advent. Therefore, the Immaculate Conception has to be transferred to the following day, the 9th. So next Monday is when the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is celebrated and observed. It's a holy day of obligation. Now, please understand that it is not possible for practically all of you, some of you maybe, to attend actual Mass on that day. Therefore, make use of your little monastic chapels. Use them not as something frivolous, but as something serious, as an obligation of your Catholicity. That's the best place you've got to observe your Catholicity and to live your Catholic life. You are obliged, therefore, to live it as best you can. Please do not put that aside. And prior to that comes the Feast of St. Nicholas. Observe St. Nicholas' feast for the children, even for the grown-ups. Make it a lovely day and observe it as it should be observed, in the Catholic tone of things. Do not manufacture a Catholicity that is not Catholic. Put it in the perspective and put it in the focus as it should be. If you want God's blessing, God's joy, God's understanding, God's peace, and God's pleasure. So, in all these things, with our world being as it is, I do not exactly want to go and start speaking of doom. I have a feeling I don't really have to, because all you have to do is go out back and open the back door, and the very air will smell of doom today. Is it worse than it's ever been? That's hard to say. But look around and see the quality of the clouds that are over our heads at this moment. So let us prepare ourselves. Let us give unto God the things that pertain to God in the way that God has ordained. And let us keep personal preference away from our interpretation. Let us look at the truth as it is. Sometimes I think that we are guilty of not accepting the truth as being something outside of ourselves, but rather as looking at truth as being inside of me. And that's not where it is. I am seeking the truth. I am not the truth. And we have to understand that, my beloved people. I want to take this opportunity, because I won't see you again before Christmas. I want to take this opportunity in the name of the monks and the sisters, myself, my own name, to wish each and every one of you, and to wish each and every one of those you love most, a truly blessed Christmas, a truly holy Christmas, a truly peaceful Christmas. In one of these bulletins, you will find this little reading. Without doubt, God will give a full measure of peace to a heart full of love for Him. Therefore, if God is given only a portion of a heart, then He can give only that amount of peace that will fit into the portion of the heart that he has been given. That makes sense, doesn't it? The container determines the amount of fluid that you put into it, the size of the container. So, my beloved people, Christmas, give your heart entirely to God, and you will enjoy a peace that you will not forget. Would you please kneel, and I will give you our blessing for Christmas.
In your charity, please pray for us, that God will give us the grace always and always to do the things that pertain to God as best we can.